Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Baptism, big occasion. Great to have you here today, guys, and welcome everybody to our service today, to our baptism service. I want to make a special welcome to my family, some of my family who are here today. Great to have you here with us. So. And the water's all ready to go. Let me just check the water, make sure it's okay. It's warm. Imagine that. I remember when I was baptised, the water was cold and icy. But, you know, these days you guys have a really good. I'm going to pray and then we're going to look at that passage. And then later we will baptise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can be here, we can look at your word, the Bible, and we pray for each one of us that you will help us to understand, to be able to take a message away. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, life can feel dull at times. It can feel dim, drizzly, like a rain cloud following you around everywhere you go. Maybe that's why there's so much browsing on the internet. You know, we're looking for something funny to keep us laughing. The reality is life can be dull at times. But the good news is, here we go. The good news is, on the screen, hopefully we'll move on. There we go. The good news is, if you're a believer, there's a light in you. And baptism is confirmation that there's a light in you, that you shine, that you dazzle, that you glow. I can see it in your eyes. You glow, you sparkle. There's a light in you. But that light in you does not come from you. It doesn't come from you, neither from your good deeds, no matter how good they are. It comes from Jesus. He is the origin. He is the source of the light. There's a verse in John chapter 8 that says these words. Jesus says, in the Gospel of John, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so we shine because he, Jesus, he shines in us. As way of an illustration, let's consider the moon. To try and make this really clear. Okay. And so the moon doesn't produce its own light. Okay, it reflects the light of the sun at night. As way of comparison with believers who love Jesus, you can see that there. So the moon reflects the light of the sun at night. Believers reflect the light of Jesus in a dark world. As way of comparison. So examples include when we pray at the church, when we praise and worship God, we believe in him, and much of the world does not. We believe in him, we reflect the light of Jesus. When we grow, we disciple one another, we mentor other believers, we reflect the light of Jesus when we do that. When we go out into the world, and we witness to Jesus, we reflect the light of Jesus. So that's why in verse 14 that we read these words. Jesus said to his disciples, to his believers, his followers, he said, you are the light of the world. And so this light is his light. Believers, we absorb his light, we absorb his glory, and we reflect his light in a dark world. And so that is why it is right to say, you shine. Let's be honest. Sometimes, all believers will know this, sometimes we don't feel like we shine. And so we'll return to the moon. And let me tell you about phases of the moon. Now, I'm no astronomy expert, like some in the room. I'll do my best. Now, the moon has different phases, so I'll give it a go. I think it's there's the new moon. Please don't correct me if I get it wrong. The new moon, there's quarter moon, there's half moon, there's three quarter moons, there's four fifths moon, five sixths, wax on, wax off. I don't really know. Maybe waxing crescent. I think that's a moon. But anyway, I'm no. But there's different phases, and the moon. At different times of the calendar month, the moon emits different levels of light. And you can see that there. Even the new moon, which is the first, I think that's right. Is that right? No, the back end. Yes, that's what I thought. Even the new moon on this side emits certain levels of light. And so we who believe in Jesus, we emit some light. We all do. Regardless of how we feel, regardless of what situation we're going through, regardless of where we live, what place, what gifts, whatever, regardless, if we're a believer in Jesus, we have the light of Jesus, and in a dark world, we emit at least some light. Yes, it is true. Some emit more than others, and it seems like that. It might be the faith given, the grace given, the gifts that you have, or the places you live in the world. But we all emit, if we're a believer, we all emit some light. But here's the point. It is better to emit some light of Jesus than none at all. And also this week in the news, there was a solar eclipse that affected the speed of technology. But it's coming. There we go. The solar eclipse was in the news. It was big news in North America. If you don't know what it is, most of you do, but if you don't know, basically the solar eclipse is when the moon moves between the earth and the sun, completely blocking the face of the sun. But notice how there's still some light escaping. You know, Christian life can feel like that. We can feel like in a dark world, the dark world is completely blocking the light of Jesus. It can feel like that. But we've got to remember that even in a dark world, there's always some light escaping. And so we all, if we are a believer, we reflect the light of Jesus. So again, it is right to say, you shine to all believers. And baptism is a confirmation that you shine because you have the light of Jesus, even though at times all Christians will say, I don't really feel like it. But you do. You do. We do. And I want to shine. I want to shine. Better to shine than to not shine. With the light of Jesus. And so when you shine, you're like a city on a hill, as we read in the passage, you're like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Now someone might say, well, what if there's a blackout? What if there's a blackout at night and there's no electricity? Imagining a town, some translations say town, others say city, but what if there's a blackout? Well, there's always the moonlight. Or even the residents in the city, I don't know about you, but you know, most households, we carry candles. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. That's what the Christian life is like. And when you shine, you're also like a lamp on a stand. That is appearing. There we go. A lamp on a stand. Someone might say, what if I cover it with a bowl? But who does that? Because you cover it with a bowl, there's no oxygen. Suffocates the flame. And so the passage today, neither do you do that. So if you're a believer, you have the light of Jesus. We don't cover it. We don't hide it. We shine brightly. We turn up the Bunsen burner. You know, we come out of the closet. We shine brightly. We know what that means. Love God, love people. That's what we aim to do. We're far from perfect, but that's what we aim to do. We're like a lamp on a stand. We're like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, and a lamp on a stand. We do not cover it. We shine brightly. That is what we aim to do. We aim to give light to everyone in the house. The house here in this passage that we read is reference to the church. And you know what the world needs now, the dark world needs now, is Christian believers shining brightly. Do you know what the most motivating, the biggest motivator for Christian living is? If you want to know what the biggest motivator for Christian living it is, let me suggest to you what it is. Or let me tell you what it is. It is not a book to read, as good as reading books are. It is not a podcast. As good as it is to listen to a podcast about Christian living, it is other believers shining brightly around you. Hanging out with other believers shining brightly. That is the biggest motivator to Christian living. It gives light to everyone in the house, the church. And of course there's the dark world, or the dark web. We also know, scientifically we know this, and we also know that light dispels darkness. So if you have the light of Jesus and you're a believer, you do. We want to stand out. We want to make a difference in the world. We want this light of Jesus to make a difference in the world. And one of the big issues taking place in our society is bullying in schools. What should a Christian do who goes to school and sees bullying? Try, do something about it. Stand out, the light of Jesus. Tell a teacher. You know, step in, say, no, you can't do that. Don't get involved, because the light of Jesus, we shine, we make a difference. And there's a lot of things in the world too, a lot of greed in the world. You know, that shouldn't be the believer. The light of Jesus, shining, we don't want to do that. Loneliness. Dark world, a lot of people are lonely. Christians, light of Jesus, we try and get alongside our neighbours, try and make a difference in some way or another. That's what we want to do. We want to, light dispels darkness. And so you guys are about to be baptised in a moment. And one message I want you to take away from today is to go out and shine brightly. Or as it says in verse 16, let your light shine before others. That's what Jesus says to his believers, to his disciples. He said, let your light shine before others. That's what we need to do. That's what all believers need to do. Now, of course, some people in this room will say, what if we want God's light? How do we have God's light? How do we receive God's light? If I want God's light in my life, how do we receive that light? Let me try and explain how. As I'm thinking it through, the computer is also thinking it through, formulating the response. There it is. I like this real-time interaction that's going on with me and the computer. All right, so how to receive God's light. Hope you can read that, hopefully it's big enough. I think it is, yep. Very important, how to receive God's light. How to have that light in you shines, makes a difference in the church, makes a difference in the world. Believe in Jesus. Believe who he is, that he is fully God, and that he humbled himself, fully God, and became like one of us. He became fully man, in order that he would die on a cross, and that is to pay the penalty for our sin, for our rejection of him, for our apathetic attitude toward him, for our refusing him in our life. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin. See, God is holy. We are not. And because God is holy, we are not. We are sinners. And God is holy, cannot accept sinners. But Jesus so loved, he humbled himself. Fully God became fully man in order to die on the cross and pay the penalty. And if we believe, he rose from the dead. Because if he stayed in the grave, then he's like anybody else who died. Useless. But he rose from the dead that we might, if we believe in him, who he is and what he's done, that we might, that we would have forgiveness and new life. And that spark is what ignites the believer. That is how we receive the light of Jesus. Some might be a full moon. Some might be a new moon. Some might be a quarter moon. But we all have the light of Jesus that dispels the darkness that is all around us in this world. That's how we receive it. That is the spark. And so shine. And when you shine, the passage ends. Oh, no. There we go. When you shine, people will see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven. Even unbelievers who don't believe this, when they notice something different about you, something weird about you, they might even say you're narrow-minded by believing. Even if that happens, God still gets the glory. You shine brightly, believers see it, God gets the glory, and they understand it, they give God the glory. Unbelievers who don't want this, God still gets the glory because you are shining for him. And you shine. You shine. Shine brightly. All believers, shine brightly. Don't be too hard on ourselves when we feel the dark world is like a solar eclipse. There's still some light escaping. Shine brightly. I was thinking about this week, and I was reminded of a little event that took place in my life, a story that I like to call the girl from the footpath. Let me tell you the story. Basically, a long time ago, 5-10 years ago, I was in high school. And a long time ago, I was in high school, I'm pretty sure it was about year 9, I was walking along a footpath enclosed by, someone in this room would know, anyway, a footpath enclosed by brick walls, and out of those brick walls somehow appeared, out of the shadows, appeared a girl. Who was she? She was wearing a school uniform. She was about my age. It was an awkward time at school. Kids can be so cruel. Because I had an ugly boil, sorry about that, boil on the back of my neck that was ripped out and it created a scar. It was very noticeable. And other kids would laugh at me. Would point it out and tease me. And You know how long a scar can last. Anyway, it was highly embarrassing when you're in year 9 in school. And so I tried to hide it with my shirt collar. But you know, once the picture gets out, there's no letting up with some kids. And so one time in a school library, I could feel the fingers pointing at me. And so pretending not to notice, I packed all my things up and I ran downstairs, down the several flights of stairs, quickly and away from the pointing fingers until I was alone. And that's when I began walking along the footpath, slowly. And then out of the brick walls, out of the shadows of the brick walls, came a girl. She was about my age. She was wearing a school uniform. Who was she? Was she a year above? Was she a year below? I didn't know. Honestly, I didn't recognize her. But that's when she drifted across the path, brushed up alongside me, whispering something like, God, I don't remember exactly, but it was something like, God cares, people care, just ignore them. Now, what was my response? Now, you can imagine for a year 9 student, I pulled away. I wanted her to leave me alone. I think I thought something like, what are you, my mother? That was my response. Okay, but I've thought about that girl from the footpath many times over the years. Who was she? I didn't recognize her, and honestly, I never saw her again. To this day, I wonder, who was she? Now, I'm not trying to be mysterious, really. Maybe I was just super vague, but I didn't know who she was. I still wonder who she was. But I think I can say that she was probably a believer because of what she said. And so this week, I gave glory to God because of her. Because of her kind words to me, I gave glory to God. And if I could only go back, instead of pushing her aside, I should have said something like this to her. I should have said, you know, I know this is going to sound a bit weird, but thank you for your kind words. You shine. You shine. I should have said that. Let's pray.